There's a cool new book out called Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. It's written by Mary Claire Kendall, and she joins us this morning. We appreciate you being with us, Mary Claire. How are you?
Thank you. Oh, doing well. A sunny morning. I hope it's sunny for everybody else.
It is at the moment. And we're looking at some of these Hollywood legends. And Hollywood is not known for producing piety. It is just not known for doing anything except taking small-town people to the big city and destroying their lives with drugs and womanizing, or manizing. But let's talk about some of the people who, as you got into their stories, you found really were on a deep spiritual search, if not their whole lives, at least towards the end of their lives.
Well, I mean, they're all different, so it's a mix. Some towards the end of their lives, like John Wayne and Ann Miller, but some, actually John Wayne, correction, all through he married a Catholic, Josie, so there were a lot of priests that would come, but more about him later. But yeah, it's fascinating. And you say Hollywood produces all these ills. I mean, God really produced this, but he used the instruments and the bad things that happened.
Well, you mentioned John Wayne. Let's just dig into his story a little bit for those who don't know, because John Wayne was kind of like Mr. America, Mr. West, even though he was from Illinois. And he had a lot of struggles in his life, but eventually came to the Catholic faith, full communion.
No, right. Well, at the very end, very dramatically, with John Wayne, I mean, he's a very humble man. So, as mentioning, his wife, Josie, was Catholic. And so a lot of the priests, you know, would come, and he'd love to, you know, he's a reconnoiter and love to talk to them into the wee hours about all kinds of, you know, theological and philosophical issues. And his daughter-in-law, Gretchen Wayne, said he was always an intellectual Catholic. It's very poignant. It gives me tears. But so when they were filming Chisholm, A.J. Fennedy, the producer or the director of Chisholm, said that every day, this was in 1970, he would go to Mass. He'd be on his knees, but he didn't receive the sacraments because of his marital situation. I think he didn't become a Catholic, rather, because he just felt, you know, he wasn't in the right place to have that happen. But he would also, Balboa Island, when they moved to Newport Beach, he would go to the church and pray, and the priest, and he'd take his cap off, so he had that toupee later in life, and the priest one day came up and said, "Is that John Wayne?" And there he was praying.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. And I think it can be easy to assume that Hollywood is full of just shallow characters, but a guy like Gary Cooper, man, there's a lot to dig into there.
Yes. He wasn't shallow. They thought he was, but he was smart because he kept his mouth shut because he was the most gorgeously handsome man in Hollywood, and you know, the top paying actor, and he knew that. You know, you blab about yourself and you become a target. So a lot there. And he gradually, he was so handsome, he was like a female magnet. And his, you know, the famous affair with Patricia Neal and his family, that was a defining moment, because usually those affairs, you know, that's part of, I mean, I shouldn't talk about it so casually, but that's the theatrical world, and, you know, you have a romance on screen, and it kind of goes off, you know, off screen. But that was a defining moment, and then the family, he went and was batching it, although they were still in touch. You know, that junket they did for High Noon and visiting the Pope, they were separated. But then he just really realized that, well, I don't want to go into the whole story, but this priest was pivotal, and he gradually realized he was kind of he didn't want to be such a bum, Gary Cooper, and realized that, you know, a little religion, in the words of Ma York, wouldn't do no harm. And beautiful story. And it was not a deathbed conversion. Was not. It was a year before he got sick. No way, his daughter said.
Well, I find it interesting, especially with comedians. You never know if you're talking to the real person or if what you're seeing is all an act. And sometimes this can end in tragedy. We've seen many comedians either take their own life or overdose because everything they put out to the public is just a joke. Everything has to be made into a joke. But talk about Bob Hope and his inner life.
Oh, boy. That's a tall order. I see him looking at me. Don't you dare. No, but I think it was a long, gradual process. During World War II, he got to know Francis Cardinal Spellman, the Cardinal Emeritus. Theodore McCarrick was telling me, and they were working with him. Of course, Dolores was a devout Catholic, his wife. And then he noticed that Francis Spellman got bigger applause than he did. He said, and then the military, where they're so devoted, and just so he started thinking there, got him thinking, and through the years, you know, of course, he did everything to the nth degree, and he was a chip off the old block, and had the things on the side with outside of his marriage that he shouldn't have, but gradually, this man, and then towards the end of his life, he was, you know, things changed. He was the biggest thing in Hollywood, and then he was relegated to riding the tram at the Reagan Library dedication, making small talk with Lou Wasserman and Michael Eisner, and he said, you know, he couldn't believe he was in the limousine. I think that really just was, that's the crisis, and then when a couple years later, he converted, and he was very lucid. Contrary to what Richard Zoglin says in the Hope book, I don't know that he talks about his conversion, but in the 90s he said he was out of it. No, Benedict Grishel, Father Benedict Grishel, who just left us, said no, he's very lucid.
Well, the final chapter, chapter 13, you mentioned her earlier, and it really is probably one of the more powerful stories if you know anything about it. Tell us a little bit about Patricia Neal.
Oh, gosh, beautiful woman. Got early on, I think, a pivotal thing. I mean, very stable childhood. Most of the stories I read about, not so stable. bookended by stability, Hitch and Cooper and Patricia Neal. But then she got involved with the wrong guy when she was 19, and he, you know, really wounded her terribly, and then became the acting talent, was just amazing, and then met Gary Cooper, and he healed those wounds. It was an improper relationship, and that was really difficult. And then she got married to Roald Dahl, had that stroke, her life, talk about the crisis. And Maria Cooper Janis reached out to her, it was really beautiful, and forgiveness, because she had sort of, you know, she had famously spat upon her in 1959, because, or around that time, no, not that late, excuse me, when she was a child, because of, you know, what had happened with their family. And Patricia Neal and Maria then introduced her to Mother Dolores Hart, and became, you know, gradually went through this process, because Roald Dahl had famously kicked her out, in Mother Dolores' words, and they had the marriage split, and got busted up, and she gradually and became friends with Mother Dolores Hart, and she said, I want to be buried at the Abbey of Regina Laudis. And Mother Dolores said, I can't imitate it, said, well, you're going to have to become a Catholic. Well, I'll think about that, Patricia Neal said, but she did, very shortly before she died, but she was also becoming very spiritual with the direction of the nuns at the Abbey.
Well, Mary Claire Kendall, the foreword to your book, Oasis, is by Mother Dolores Hart. Again, it's called Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. If our listeners want a copy, where do they go?
Well, you know, and Franciscan Media is the publisher, so they can go online with Franciscan Media, or Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's all over the world. It's amazing. Yeah, so there's all kinds of, but I would try Franciscan Media first, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc.
All right, sounds great, Mary Claire. Thanks so much for being on the show. Have a great day.